Megan, if I were to tell you to guess what episode number this was of Magic the Amateuring, what would you say?
Two.
Oof, you're off.
Off cold. By a little or off by a lot?
A lot.
Okay, I guess 4,000.
Okay, you're warmer, but technically you're also not warmer. You're actually colder.
Okay. So there's like a happy medium?
Yeah, happy medium.
Well, in that case, I'm going to go with meow.
Can you translate that to human from cat for
no,
me?
No, we're on episode meow.
What? Where does that fall in the numerical system?
It's like, you know, it's between, you know, 20 and 3,000.
Well, then, yeah, then you're right.
Thank you.
Because this is episode 193 of Magic the Amateuring.
Wow.
Pew, 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 pew.
That's a lot of weeks.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what surprises me all the time? Hmm. There's only 52 weeks in a year.
That is not a lot of weeks.
It doesn't seem like it. But at the same time, no, it just doesn't seem like a lot.
No.
No.
If somebody told me a year is like 180 weeks, I'd be like, that seems right.
180? That seems high. I would guess like, you know, I would guess like 80.
80 weeks in a year?
Yeah, 80 weeks in a year.
As many keys on a piano. It's also not true, but close.
How many keys are on a piano?
I don't know, like 80 something, like 82, 83.
What? Not all pianos are the same.
I mean, standard piano.
God, I feel like that's...
The answer to our question is but a mouse
like,
click away.
I feel like you're being a pianist right now.
By saying that there's 83 keys on a piano?
Like that saying that all pianos have 83 keys.
I mean, real pianos. Ooh.
Wow.
Gauntlet
shots fired.
Thrown. 88 keys.
Gosh, see, I feel like Google is just being real general right now. It's just generalizing about pianos in a pretty hurtful way.
You want to count like a keytar, and you want to count...
Yes, I want to count all of them.
Like
look,
the one that you blow into with your mouth and play it?
I'm related to several pianos, okay?
Are you really?
Yeah.
Was your mom a piano?
No, I said related to, not my parent was a piano. I wouldn't say I'm related to my mom.
You wouldn't? My mom was a tuba. Hey, everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. Whether your parents are pianos, tubas, or some other kind of musical instrument like a harmonica or a mouth harp, you're all welcome here. Today's episode is all about some new stuff happening in Magic, including new standard.
Yes, I'm one of your hosts of this podcast, Megan.
I'm my other host, Maria.
And this is for you if you play the game of Magic, are adjacent to someone who plays the game of Magic, have never heard of Magic but are intrigued by that set of letters arranged together in that way.
Yes.
Or anyone else who just likes to have a good time while sitting.
We're besides talking about the new state of standard, which we got a sneak peek at this past weekend at an SCG Open ahead of the Pro Tour. We're also going to be talking about Kaladesh Draft.
That's right. You can crack packs. You can draft Kaladesh.
Ooh, and you'll be able to draft it online sooner than usual as well.
Yeah, starting this Wednesday.
Oh, man. Got to get that sweet digital cardboard up in my veins.
I got an email from WotC today that was like, you can draft Kaladesh starting on Wednesday. And I was like, yes, I can.
Yes,
I can.
I've always thought like after the downtime on Wednesday, when a new set was coming out, I'm like, where are my new cards? I know you're in there. I know you're in there somewhere.
They're just hiding somewhere in the background of the program. If you click if you click in the correct order, you can find them.
Ooh, but now we don't even have to do
now
that.
Now you don't even have to do the special secret clicking code.
They're just there.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk about our first experiences drafting. But before we do any of that, we want to say thank you to our sponsors, namely which are you out there in the listener universe. Thank you.
That's right. Everyone who donates on Patreon, you make this show literally possible.
Yeah, literally and, you know, figuratively, probably.
All the different kinds of possible. If you donate on Patreon, we do also do a giveaway every month at the end of the month to one of our wonderful Patreon donors. And so during the weeks, we'll kind of add different things to that pile. And today we are adding a beautiful playmat and playmat bag from Classic Art Tokens.
Yes.
Ooh.
Nice. Do you want to be the fanciest person at your draft? craft. Hello, use this playmat.
Absolutely. And this sweet playmat bag, which, you know, when I got one at GP Houston, I remember.
Yeah.
And I was like suspicious, but it was a Christopher Rush lightning bolt one.
Yeah.
And it's actually like really great because
I love playmat bags.
I hate putting it in my bag. It has this like carabiner and you can clip it on.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. So this is going into the kitty as well as cards we opened today in our Flavor Text Theater segment. We're cracking a pack of Kaladesh. So you do have a chance at an invention.
Yeah.
If we crack it, we can't keep it.
Nope.
It's
you
yours.
You get it.
So this goes to anybody who is a patron. We'll do a drawing at the end of the month. And we also have a separate prize for anybody who has become a patron this month for the first time.
That prize is TBD.
TBD, but it's going to be really good. You just have to trust us.
Yeah.
We're also thankful to have Card Kingdom on our side as the official sponsor of the show.
Absolutely. You can head to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Use that sweet link. Get sweet cards. You can also trade in cards for credit. So if you have, you know, like a modern deck or something sweet like that that you're working towards, you can also trade in different cards that you're not using anymore and work on building stuff like that. So it's in general pretty great.
Yeah, if you have some bulk rares or whatever, it's great to get that trade-in bonus. So, you know, don't just sell them willy-nilly. Get a trade-in bonus and get some new cards for that sweet foiled all boggles deck that I know you're all dreaming of.
Yep.
Hashtag just
get
me.
All those packs of Kaladesh so you can Kaladesh draft to your heart's content.
And Card Kingdom is doing something really awesome this month that we are proud to be a part of. They're going to be running a contest.
It's called the Inventor's Fair.
Yes, makes sense, Kaladesh. And the contest that we will be the head judges for is Inventor's Fair. You've got to get through us, you guys, if you want to win some sweet prizes.
And I've got to get a metallic arm.
Our Deseret. Is that you need to build a standard legal deck that is based around Aetherworks Marvel.
That's right. There are three different challenges going on in the Inventor's Fair. One which will be judged by Loading Ready Run, one which will be judged by Command Zone, and one which will be judged by us. You can check out all of those at cardkingdom.com/Inventor's Fair.
And if you've got a complete deck list that you've already figured out for Aetherworks Marvel, mail it to aetherworksmarvel@cardkingdom.com to be submitted for the contest. Just keep in mind, we are the head judges, all right? So make it good. Make it good. And you could win a sweet prize. So good luck. High five to all you out there who might want to put your brewing hats on. For the noobs, tricks are for kids.
Hey, everybody. It is super important when a new set comes out to know what different sorts of tricks your opponent might have up their sleeve, so to speak. If they actually have tricks up your sleeve, please speak to a judge because
that's illegal
and that's cheating. But we're talking about the different instants that your opponent might have in hand that are going to somehow affect combat, usually poorly for you, which is why you want to know them. And as Scar said, be prepared.
That's right, because when you know what your opponent could potentially be holding in hand, your decisions are going to be a lot better.
If only Simba had been aware that Scar was going to throw his father off a cliff and into a herd of antelope, he might have been better prepared for that situation.
Poor Simba's like, I'm going to be packing my Nerf gun to stop my uncle from killing my dad.
Why does Simba have a Nerf gun?
I thought you were going to say a southern accent. I didn't have an answer to that.
I mean, those are both very good questions because Simba has a voice and it's not southern.
Why you kill my dad, Uncle Scar? Why? I think I'm doing like this. This also couldn't be because it is a stage play, but I'm doing like the Tennessee Williams version of Lion King.
Name a play that Tennessee Williams wrote.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
All right. Name a second one.
Stella.
That's
a streetcar named Desire.
There you go. All right. Good job.
Thank you.
You named the two Tennessee Williams plays that everybody knows. As far as I'm aware, those are the only two he ever wrote, right?
Could be.
Sounds right.
Anyway, the point is be prepared. You want to go into playing a draft or a sealed environment with as much knowledge as you can possibly have. A lot of people take a look at the tricks before pre-release because they're kind of being a little spikier and they want to do well at their local pre-release, which is totally fine. But it becomes even more important now when we're going kind of into PPTQ season and you want to be aware of what your opponent might be planning while they're attacking suspiciously.
That's right. So I'm going to go ahead ahead and quiz Maria on these, and you all can play along.
Yeah, this is something that I've been practicing with at home because, as you may have heard on Twitter, I will be doing play-by-play in the booth for GP Atlanta, so I hope you guys tune in this weekend. It's going to be Kaladesh Limited, so it's going to be really exciting. Megan's going to be on text coverage, so you can read all of her awesome articles on dailymtg.com. So I've been trying to prepare, and we'll see you right now. How well I've been doing play along at home.
All right. Here we go. One red.
Okay. Do you want me to say what it is and everything?
Tell me what it does.
Okay. This is built to smash. It gives +3/+3. And if it's an artifact, if it's played on artifact, it gets trample.
That's correct. It can also only be given to an attacking creature.
Okay. Yeah, that is important.
Yes.
Only an attacking creature.
Two red, red. And sacrifice an artifact.
This is Incendiary Sabotage. It gives all creatures, deals 3 damage to all creatures.
Correct. Two red, red.
Another two red, red.
Yes.
Oh my. I got it.
Okay.
Fateful Showdown.
Okay.
Okay, choose target creature. Fateful Showdown deals damage to target creature equal to the number of cards in your hand. Discard those cards and draw that many cards.
Correct. You can also deal it to a player.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
One in a black.
This could be Rush of Vitality. It gives +1/+0, lifelink, and indestructible.
Correct. Two in a red.
Two in a red, I'm going to say Welding Sparks deals X damage to target creature, where X is the number of artifacts you control +3.
Correct. One in a red.
I'm going to guess that this is Chandra's Pyrohelix, which deals 2 damage divided as you choose up to among 2 creatures under players.
Correct. Two blue.
This is a counter spell, so I'm going to guess this is Failed. It could be Insidious Will or Failed Inspection, right?
Okay.
I think they both cost 2 blue.
They do.
Okay. Okay. So Insidious Will is the rare, and it's a pretty sweet card. I had this actually in one of my pre-release decks. So you can counter target spell. You can copy target spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy, or you can choose new targets for the target spell.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. One in a red.
Oh, another one in a red? Wow, that's crazy that I chose the right one last time.
Mm-hmm.
Another one in a red. Oh boy. Okay, give me a clue.
It's an uncommon.
All right. An uncommon. Is it a good card?
It is a good card.
I don't know why I asked that. It's not helping me.
It has to do with energy.
Oh, okay. This is Harness Lightning. Mm-hmm. Of course, the even better one in a red. So Harness Lightning, you get 3 energy, choose target creature, get 3 energy, spend any amount of energy, and then you deal damage to that target creature equal to the number of energy spent.
Correct.
That card's amazing.
One, green.
Green, Ornamental Courage. Target creature gets +1/+3 and you untap it.
Green.
Oh no, there's another one green.
Yep.
That's a sorcery. Attune with Aether is a sorcery. Are we counting that? Okay.
Attune with Aether neither affects creatures nor is an instant.
No. Okay. Just one green.
Mm-hmm. People have talked about this card being playable in Modern.
Oh, yes, that must be, Blossoming Defense, +2/+2 and Hexproof.
Correct. One black.
Essence Extraction, deal 3 damage to target creature and gain 3 life.
One in a blue.
This could be the counter spell where you pay 2. I should probably know what it's called.
What else could it be?
Revolutionary Rebuff. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes.
What else could it be? One in a blue?
Yep.
What's the flavor text?
Nobody asked you to butt in, Jace, but thanks.
What one of the best flavor texts.
One of the worst flavor texts that have ever happened.
This would be a dramatic reversal. Untap all non-land permanents you control.
Correct. One in a blue.
Okay, is this one?
Nope.
Oh, God. Wow, there's a lot of one in a blues going around.
This one is a flash enchantment.
Oh, okay. So this is either meltdown. You get two energy and target creature or vehicle gets -4/-0.
Correct. One black red.
Unlicensed disintegration. Destroy target creature. If you control an artifact that you deal three unlicensed disintegration deals three damage to target creature's controller.
I was going to tell you the name of the card.
Soul Ring.
Soul Ring. One white.
One in a white. Mm-hmm. That's it?
That is it.
Oh, boy. This is a hard quiz.
Yeah. You're doing really good so far, though.
Okay.
We should have brought some cheese nips. I can give you a cheese nip every time you got one right.
Why cheese nips? Just because.
It's what came to mind.
I would take a cheese
nip. I was thinking
nip.
About how my cat likes cheese treats.
You give her some cheese treats?
They're like these little treats that I bought her that have cheese in the middle.
Oh, that sounds good. I'd eat that.
She really likes them.
Did you try one?
No.
Just try one.
Nope.
Nope. Try one and text me how it is.
No.
Is it sharp cheddar?
No, it's like, you know.
Swiss.
It's orange, so I guess it's some kind of cheddar.
Okay. One white. I'm going to need another clue, I think.
Let's see. Its name is Impeccable Timing.
Oh, okay. Of course. Impeccable Timing. This card is great. Deal three damage to target attacking or blocking creature.
Correct. Two and a white.
Two and a white. I'm down on these white ones. I'm not as good on them.
Yeah, man.
Oh, boy.
What do you got against them?
I don't know. Two and a white. It's got to be some kind of instant. What does it do? I don't know.
There are two of them.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm failing you guys. Two and a white.
Correct.
All right. Give me a hint.
One makes you really sad.
Because it's really good if it's used against me.
No, it's a sad card.
Oh, Pianilar.
No.
Cathartic Reunion.
No.
What makes me sad?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be like, oh.
Yeah, I know I am. What is it?
Skywhaler Shot.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And it's so good. Skywhaler Shot. It's so sad. Destroy target creature with power 3 or greater, scry 1.
Correct. The other one.
Yeah.
Acrobatic Maneuver.
Oh, yeah. Acrobatic Maneuver. Blink, target creature you control, and draw a card.
Correct. Single blue.
Single blue, this is going to be select for inspection. So you return target tapped creature to its owner's hand and scry one.
One in a black.
Ooh, I already knew that other one in a black.
Yep.
So this must be Subtle Strike, which is give target creature +1/+1 counter, another target creature -1/-1.
Two in a black. Yesterday's marvels are today's antiques.
Is this an instant? No, that's a sorcery that I'm thinking of. Fortuitous Find is a sorcery. It destroys something.
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Make obsolete.
Make obsolete, it gives creatures your opponents control -1/-1?
Correct.
Okay.
Kill
those servos.
Let's see. Two white.
Oh, man. I was doing okay at the top, and now I'm just falling over. Two white.
Your brain's real tired.
Okay. Come on, brain. Oh, this has got to be Inspired Charge. Creatures you control get +2/+1.
Correct.
Got there.
White.
White. This is Built to Last, +2/+2, and if it's an artifact, it gets indestructible.
Three black.
This is Tidy Conclusion. Destroy target creature. Gain a life for each artifact you control.
One in a green.
Ooh. That's a sorcery. I was going to say larger than life, but that's a sorcery.
It is.
Hmm. Is there a pump effect that's one in a green?
It's not a pump effect.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay, 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 okay. Give me a hint.
Never before have there been so many brilliant minds and wondrous inventions in one place. Denizens from every corner of Kaladesh will flock to the once-in-a-lifetime Inventor's Fair.
This is the fog of the set, commencement of festivities.
Correct. Whew. Two and a green.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm hungry. For something, I don't know, weird, I guess.
You're hungry. Hunt the Week costs 4 and is not an instant. So I can't be that. Ugh. Hint.
This gave you one.
That you're hungry.
For something strange. I don't know what exactly.
Feast of the Unusual. Why don't I name magic cards?
Feast of the Unusual. I think it would be Feast on the Unusual. Man, I have an appetite.
Appetite for... Oh, I'm going to kick myself.
The Unnatural.
The Unnatural, that's it. So this is destroy target artifact or enchantment. You gain 2 life.
One blue, blue.
So this could be the counter of the set, which is Disappearing Act, and it's an additional cost to cast it. You have to return a permanent you control to your hand.
Correct. Whew. The end.
Wow, that's it.
We got there.
That's all of them, everybody.
That's them all.
What's your favorite of that pile?
Oh, Subtle Strike or Rush of Vitality.
Yeah, those are both really good, and notably both in black.
Yeah.
You played Subtle Strike, and that card is...
I played 2.
Blowout.
It really is sometimes. Man, you can really wreck face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm trying to think of which ones I've played from this set already, but...
Yeah, which ones have you actually played?
That I'm like, oh, this
Built
is good.
Built to Smash?
I've not played Built to Smash.
Me neither. I had someone play 2 copies of Incendiary Sabotage against
How
me.
How was that?
It was terrible. For them. For everybody.
For everybody. I mean, kills everything.
They played it twice, and I still won the game. So.
Yeah. This belongs in a very specific deck. You just can't put in anything.
Fateful Showdown.
Great. Seems great.
It's, like, fine if you draw it when you have no cards in hand.
Then it's bad.
It's totally garbage. which, you know, I think it's medium.
You give it a C.
Yeah, I don't give letter grades. Okay, what do I look like? A fucking alphabetizer? A librarian?
The Dewey Decimal System.
Rush of Vitality.
Great.
Yep. Welding Sparks.
Welding Sparks, yes. Amazing.
Chandra's Pyrohelix, also great.
That seems great.
Insidious Will.
I liked it.
Heck yes.
Very versatile.
Harness Lightning.
Great.
Yeah. Ornamental Courage.
Not gonna do it.
I haven't played it.
It's not enough.
Blossoming Defense. I would
seems
play this
fine.
Card.
Yeah.
Essence Extraction.
Yes.
All day.
Yep.
Dramatic Reversal.
No, get out.
Get out. Ether Meltdown.
Yeah, it's a good card. Yeah.
Unlicensed Disintegration.
Great.
All day. Impeccable Timing. All day.
Yeah.
Skywheeler Shot.
All day.
Acrobatic Maneuver. In the right deck.
Yeah.
But usually not.
Can build around.
Select for Inspection.
All day.
All day. Subtle Strike.
All day.
All day. Make Obsolete.
In no.
Particular matchups. Inspired Charge. In the right deck. Built to Last. I like this one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Single white +2/+2 is like solid.
It's a giant growth.
Tidy Conclusion.
Yeah, all day.
All day. Commencement of festivities.
Don't do it. Do you hear me?
Appetite for the Unnatural. I will always main deck the first one of this.
I agree.
Disappearing Act. Nope.
No, don't think so.
All right.
There you have it. So those are... Now you know what to do and what not to do when you're building your decks with tricks. Tricks are something that you've got to have. I mean, every deck has a few of them,
mm-hmm.
but you can't go overboard because you don't want to have more tricks than dudes.
And I chose to test Maria based on the converted mana cost because that's usually the information that you're going to have. Your opponent isn't going to be like, man, I'm feeling weirdly hungry right now. Unless, you know, they have like a thing for trying to like tease out what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's true. That's like not a thing that never happens.
If what would you do if you're playing me and I just started reading the flavor text of like the trick I had in my hand?
I would, you know what? I would just shut up and let you do it.
Yeah.
Be like all day. But usually the info that you have is what your opponent has opened. So you need to know them by, you don't need to even know their names necessarily. You can just know them by what they do.
Yeah, so study them on your own. There's guides out there that have just the tricks listed that you can find on the internet, and then you'll feel a lot more prepared going into your next draft or sealed event on what your opponent may have, but not literally, up his or her sleeve. Kaladesh Draft!
hey, everybody, we cracked some boosters.
We sure
passed
did.
Passed them around a table and took cards out of them. Do you remember? So we did like a friend draft last week.
Yeah.
And there was like a pack that went around that had, it was like, it was towards the end. So it was only like five cards and they were all just like very bad, especially for my deck. Like they weren't even in my colors. They were just bad cards. And for, I almost compulsively looked at it and then just passed them all on because my brain was like, you don't want any of the, like, no, I almost was just like, nope, fuck this. And like passed them to the next person.
Yeah. You
and then luckily
just
something caught me and I was like, no, you have to take a card. That's not how that works.
I wish there was some kind of rule that was just like, if none of them are in your colors and they're all bad, you get something by just passing
them. You can just pass them all.
And then you just get I think we talked about this on some show. I can't remember what it was, but instead you got a face down morph and it was only ever just a 2/2.
Only ever just a 2/2. Yeah. Do you have to put it in your deck?
I don't know. Probably not.
No.
Anyway.
That's interesting. Oh,
What have you ended up drafting in this set so far?
Let's see. I have drafted mostly energy decks.
Yeah.
Which I've had a really good time drafting, with some with more success than others, usually based on the number of rares that they had in them.
Yeah. True. True.
So I drafted a green-red energy deck last week, which featured notably Architect of the Untamed.
Nice.
Which is the one that you can pay 8 energy and make a beast, a 6/6 beast. And then I also had Chandra in that deck and PNLR. That deck was sweet. It had lots of ways to make energy. So it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was a cool deck.
Yeah.
I felt you had one other thing that was very flavorful in there, but I can't remember what it was.
I had Decoction Module and Fabrication Module. And a Whirler Maker. So there were times when I would have a module and a Whirler Maker in play. And so I would tap, you know, it was a lot of mana, but I would tap 8 mana and like make a Thopter, get an energy and put a counter on the Thopter. Yes. It was great.
Yes. So good. Somebody's out there has got to have done the 3 module deck.
I hope so.
By now.
I hope so. Man, animation module is sick.
Well, that'd be so good.
So yeah, that deck was a lot of fun. And it went 2-1, I think.
Yeah. My best deck that I drafted so far was a blue-white flyers deck, which is what I've tended to play at almost every event that I've done. I played it at 2 of my 3 pre-releases that I've gone to. And I also played it in a draft. The reason I played it in the draft was I probably should have been blue-black, but I opened a Cataclysmic Gear Hall Convention. That's right. My hands are magic and they open all good cards.
It's true.
I can't explain it. But I was like, okay, I really want to play with this card. So I'm just going to force white, which ended up being fine. Because there's a blue white flyers deck, which I think is pretty good in this format. Because white has some good ways to remove creatures, as does blue. It's not exactly permanent removal like red often has, but, locking down a vehicle or giving something an ether meltdown. I'm having an ether meltdown is usually good enough.
Do you need like a, do you feel like it's because you have an appetite for a weird snack?
I'm having an ether meltdown.
God, you just need a snack.
I don't need a snack.
No, it's you're having an appetite for the unnatural and that's causing your ether meltdown. Low blood sugar happens to everybody.
You don't understand me.
Oh, you're right. I don't.
But put a snack under my door.
Okay. Okay, I will.
Yeah, so I don't know if like this deck is actually any good. One of them was I went 3-1 at a pre-release. I went 2-1 with that deck the other day. So it's like probably fine.
Yeah.
The other deck I drafted was green white. So maybe I just have a thing for white. I don't know. I did draft a Aerial Responder, which is a 2/3 with vigilance and lifelink flying. That,
oh God, that card is so good.
Sick.
Jeez.
That card should be illegal. So good in limited. I played it numerous times. People just said, I can't beat that card. I'm like, you're probably right. Probably can't.
You are probably correct.
Did you have any spicy card that you think kind of overperformed for you?
Let me see. I have had this thing where if anyone passes me a Whirler Virtuoso, I can't pass it.
Oh.
That being said, that card is like, it's like good, but it's not like stretch your colors always to make it happen. For me, because I was already playing energy decks, sometimes I splash in, sometimes I didn't. But I love it. I love making Thopters, you guys.
Thopters are so good in this
Thopters
set.
Thopters are great. Oh, I love Thopters.
And only four cards in the set make a Thopter, so... They're rare.
That's true. I love the one that's three blue. That's an 0-3 flyer and two Thopters.
Yeah.
That guy's great.
That guy is amazing. Three cards for the price of one card is something that can't be overlooked. We've said it before on this show.
Yeah.
That when you get three cards for one, it's usually a good deal, even if one of them's an 0-3.
I also think that Aviary Mechanic is just great in this set.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff like Aether Meltdown, like Malfunction, different enchantments that are meant to lock down creatures. Or cards like the one that makes two Thopters that are just like so good to bounce and play again. Or to fix their malfunction. Did you ever think about the fact that an Aviary Mechanic
fixes can a malfunction? Come down
and pick up that card, thereby fixing the malfunction?
That's so good.
Isn't that good?
Flavor!
Nice.
Aviary Mechanic is also awesome. It has some sick combos in this set. Like, I had a Master Trinketeer in a sealed deck the other day, which, of course, is just pretty much a bomb in this set. And I had a lot of Fabricate.
Yeah.
So I had... basically Ripley, which is the 2/1 that has Fabricate 2.
That card is also great.
Yes, and I would just bounce it with my Aviary Mechanics and make more servos, which are all 2/2s, thanks to Master Trinketeer. It was stupid.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, man. What was I thinking of? God damn it. Oh, Propeller Pioneer.
Yeah.
I thought that this was interesting because... I had mentioned, so at the second pre-release, I played Blue-White Flyers. And in that deck, I think people are going to be overly inclined to always make servos on a Fabricate creature or to make them more often than it's correct. And I think especially, I found it very interesting at the pre-release, it was nearly always correct for me to put a counter on my Propeller Pioneer because my deck was so focused on being aggressive with flyers that I wanted that 3 power in the air and I didn't care about having a 1/1 in any capacity at all.
Yeah, that 3/1 for 4 is a great creature in this format. I think one of the reasons because of that is that there aren't a whole lot of Thopters running around that can block this thing profitably.
Yeah.
So there are commons like Skyskiff and, of course, Windrake and that sort of thing. But even so, having that 3 power in the air is really strong.
Yeah.
And I think you're correct that if I ever have the opportunity, I think I'm going to put the counter on that guy.
Obviously there's lots of things, but just to warn people in general, think about it because I've felt myself usually inclined to make a servo. And then I'm like, usually when I stop and analyze it, I'm like, well, I don't think that it's always that easy.
A card that has been interesting me lately has been Captured by the Consulate. So I've played this card a number of times, and in one of the occasions was in my green-white deck, which didn't have as much. It was supposed to be a flying synergy deck with my little, what is it? The 1/2 that gets energy and you can give another creature flying.
Eddie Trailhawk.
So I was supposed to be doing that, but it didn't always come around. I only had 2 Eddie Trailhawks. Anyway, so I had Captured by the Consulate, which seems like a sweet rare.
Is it Eddie Tail or Eddie Trail?
Oh, I thought it was Eddie Trail. Because of the Eddie?
But it works either way.
I guess so. Check it out while I wax philosophical about this card.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this card says, enchant creature you don't control. Target creature can't attack. And if you, whoever controls this creature, if they have a spell that would have a single target, they must target the creature enchanted with Captured by the Consulate. So the idea is if they have some kind of burn spell or a kill spell, they have to kill their own creature. They can't target a creature you control. The problem with this card is they can still block. And don't forget that, by the way. It's an important thing not to forget. But
Eddie Trail.
Eddie Trailhawk. Yeah. So I think it's only really in its best position in a deck where you are not attacking on the ground. Or if somehow you know that you are always going to have the bigger creature, which, I mean, how can you know that unless it's game 2 or whatever? Mm-hmm. But man, it has really felt bad to me, actually, when I was attacking on the ground because it didn't help me out, you know?
No, I don't think that. I think that it is only a card for some very specific decks.
So I just want to point that out because it's a rare and it seems like great removal, but I've just been having some really mediocre interactions with it, mm-hmm. as far as I was concerned. So, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, can we talk about another card that's been kind of surprising?
Yeah.
Gearseeker Serpent.
I love that card.
This is the one that's 5 blue-blue for a 5/6. It also costs 1 less to cast for each artifact you control, which is something that I think I forgot about this card.
Yeah,
when affinity. I had it.
It has affinity for artifacts.
And for 5 and a blue, it can't be blocked this turn. Which is really the important part of it.
Yes.
I lost a lost a whole match to Gearseeker Serpent.
Did you really? Games. Did they do 20 to you with it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was what it like it came down and I was like, "Yep, my deck it was the blue red one." And it's like I can't ever or the green red one. It's like none of my creatures are big enough to hunt the weak, which was my main removal spell. And then like I might have had like a little bit of red burn, but none of it was big enough to kill this, and I just died to it.
Yeah, this card's sick. I routinely cast it for 4 or 5. And one occasion, I cast it for 2 blue. So, like, this card is the real deal, and it will end games very quickly left unanswered. So, yeah, don't underestimate this card, which sometimes this is the kind of card that you should underestimate in draft because it's big, it's clunky, whatever, but you're getting a discount because of artifacts.
I don't know if I would play two of them.
Two of them? Yeah.
It's likely I'd only play one.
It does cost, so you've got to make sure that you have artifacts in your deck to make it cheaper, especially if you're considering playing two. And it does cost 6 to activate its unblockable ability. So it's not nothing. It's not nothing.
But it is something.
But it certainly is something. So send us your tales of awesome things that have happened to you in Kaladesh Draft. Tweet at us at MTAcast. We'd love to hear about which cards specifically for you are underperforming and which you think are all-stars. New standards here, everybody.
That's right. That means that standard is new. And it's here.
It's here.
Yep.
Welcome. Come on in. I baked a turkey for you, new standard.
You don't bake turkey?
What do you do with it?
You roast it.
I don't know. I put it in an oven.
Like, damn. That turkey is so
baked right now.
I was trying to be like, boom, roasted, but I couldn't think of anything mean to say about a turkey.
Nice neck. Ha ha ha.
Like, oh man, don't lose your head over Thanksgiving. Boom, roasted.
poor turkeys.
Man. Yeah, rough for them, yo.
Yeah. If I were president, I would pardon every turkey.
You can't do that.
Universal turkey pardon.
You can't. There's too many turkeys.
I'm president.
There's too many turkeys to pardon. That's all you would do as president. You would just pardon turkeys all day.
Just each one individually.
Like, excuse me, madam. Like, madam president, like, what's your schedule like for today? Oh, you know, like, I'm pardoning turkeys from 8
turkeys.
To 10, and then I have a tea break, and then, you know, 10:30 to noon, and then there's lunch break, and then noon 30 to midnight, I'm pardoning turkeys, and I go to bed.
It's my number one campaign platform.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't break for dinner between noon 30 and midnight, though.
Because I've eaten a turkey.
What?
The secret
scandal!
President eats turkey while pardoning them.
So anyways, you guys, there are new standard decks that we saw at the Star City Games Open last weekend.
Yeah, it's really neat to see the first attempt people have at building new decks from new cards, which we'll see happen again, of course, at the Pro Tour coming up.
Do you know what everyone was playing?
What, Megan?
Smuggler's Copter.
Everybody.
There was a lot of contraband in that, you know, convention center because everybody was smuggling stuff.
Hey, if you weren't playing Smuggler's Copter, I don't know what you were doing with your 2 mana.
That's right. Just sitting around on it? Are you just sitting around on it? What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Getting in that cop.
Yep.
AKA the looter scooter. Smuggler's Copter is a 3/3 for 2. Crew cost 1. What? Unheard of.
With flying.
Whew. And then when it attacks or blocks, you can draw and discard, which is the loot effect, aka why we call it a looter scooter. It doesn't really scoot, I suppose, but it's a really cute name.
No, it would be like a Back to the Future style scooter where it would also be flying.
Sweet. I'd fly in that.
The winner was Chris Van Meter piloting white-red vehicles. This featured DePaula.
Yeah.
Who helps you look for more sweet vehicles and other artifacts. Two copies of PNLR as well, which of course can make other creatures not block and pump up those vehicles if you're sitting around on your mana not doing anything else. Veteran Motorist, Toolcraft Exemplar, and then our good old friend Thraben Inspector.
I mean, who's going to cut Thraben Inspector from a white deck? Am I right?
Do, 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 do. Inspector Thraben. Do, 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 do. That Inspector is also just the right size to get in and investigate that smuggler's copter.
You know what? It's like the get on in, investigate this smuggler's copter. Oh, they've got a lot of really really high value contraband. I'm going to need to confiscate this for a little while. Oh, man,
I have to take all of this in. Sorry.
Oh,
rough.
Our friend told us a story of her first thieving, where she went and stole a steak from a grocery store. Right. and they caught her.
It was like a crappy steak, too. She said it was like $4. You guys don't shoplift it. Don't super doesn't take. It was from a Cub Foods, and then they took her photo, and she couldn't go back to Cub Foods for a year. She had a wild childhood.
Yeah,
she really
steak
did.
Stealer.
It also has two Sky Sovereign console flagship.
Amen.
Which is the big old flying boat. Because who doesn't need a flying boat?
Yeah,
as well as a couple of copies of Fleet Wheel Cruiser.
So the removal spells this deck plays are Harness Lightning and Declaration in Stone.
Because you don't want to go too heavy on removal when you're getting aggro up
in
here.
No, this deck is very appealing to me, as you may have guessed out there in listener land.
Of course.
Smuggler's Copter is just exactly my kind of card. And if I'm going to play Sky Sovereign, Console Flagship, hey, I'm on board. It deals three when it ETBs.
Yeah, man.
And Veteran Motorist, this card, by the way, is just bizarre because it's a 3-1 for one in red, and you scry two when it
enters. For red, white.
The battlefield. What did I say? One in red. Yeah, red, white. That's just really weird that you get to scry two off this buddy, but hey, I'll do it.
No, he knows what's coming down the road because he's a veteran. Veteran.
A veteran.
A veteran motorist.
Oh, so I like this deck. Let's talk about another aggro deck that we saw for the weekend.
Yes, there was also Red Black, which came in fourth.
So this deck plays a Bomat Courier, which is a 1-1 with haste, which is kind of an interesting creature for one.
Yeah.
Because whenever it attacks, you exile the top card of your library.
Yeah.
And
face down.
Face down. You don't know what it is. And at any point, you can pay red and sacrifice Bomat Courier.
And discard your hand.
And like get rid of all your cards. And then get all the cards that Bomat Courier has exiled and put those into your hand.
Although if you are playing an aggro deck and you've already played all of your cards, you're not discarding anything. It's just straight up value. Put those suckers in your hand. Nice.
So this card's kind of cute little dude who helps you out.
There's also a Scrap Heap Scrounger who is a 3/2 for two colorless. It can't block. And for one in a black, you can exile another creature card from your graveyard and get this back from the graveyard.
Yeah, so this guy, of course, an aggressive little beater. And then we're playing an Inventor's Apprentice, which is essentially a 2/3 for one in this deck.
PNLR.
And Reckless Bushwhacker.
A single Reckless Bushwhacker. And, of course, four Smuggler's Copter.
You can't forget the copter.
Yep, nope, you certainly can't. And some Fleet Wheel Cruisers as well.
Something this deck has access to that our other deck didn't, which because it was red-white, is Unlicensed Disintegration.
What a card.
Seems good. Seems good.
Yep.
Were any of these decks attractive to you, Megan?
No.
Oh, Megan. It's okay. These decks were made for me.
Give me some fumigates. Give me some, I just want to destroy all the creatures.
I'm sure there'll be a fumigate deck.
There better be. I pulled up Bant Control. That got 20th.
How do you like this one?
Oh, look, it's playing Filigree Familiars. That's so cute.
This one has a fumigate.
Yeah, just one though, because it's playing lots of creatures.
Interesting.
Creature-based control.
Oh, you're not into it?
What a life. Let's see. We did also have another deck that we pulled up, which is one of the ones that was, very exciting.
Yes.
In 25th, a Teemer Aetherworks.
Bizarre.
Yeah. So this operates with Aetherworks Marvel. It costs 4. It's a legendary artifact. And it says whenever a permanent you control is put into a graveyard, you get an energy counter. Then you can tap it and pay 6 energy to look at the top 6 cards of your library and cast a card from among them without paying its mana cost. Now, it's very important that it says cast it.
Yes.
You're not just putting it into play because this deck played 4 Emrakul and 4 Ulamog.
What?
What? It was just like going straight for the money. It was skipping over anything else. It was like four Emrakul, four Ulamog. Boom.
So this has no other creatures other than them, Megan. That so is how it. How are you? How much are you into this deck?
I like
deck?
This better. Give me a 10 and give me a 13, man. I'm good to go.
Yeah, because it is playing Glassblower's Puzzle Knot, Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot, Vessel of Nascency, Harness Lightning, Kozilek's Return, Attune with Aether, and Cathartic Reunion.
So plays lots of ways to get energy besides just the Aetherworks Marvel itself. Things like, you know, Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot, you get 3 energy. And then if you have an Aetherworks Marvel in play, when you sacrifice it, you'll get 4 energy off of it. How exciting is that?
This deck seems very silly, and I like that somebody made it. Keep in mind, you have to design one of these decks and send it to us.
That's right.
Can't be this one. Okay, be original, all right? Somebody played this card against me in draft, by the way.
Yeah.
It was also good in draft.
Oh, man. I played a Dynavolt Tower.
Yes.
I dealt like 18 damage to people's faces across 2 different rounds. It was great.
How much energy do you need to pay energy to smash someone?
Yeah, you pay 5.
Okay, 5.
5 energy, and you get 2 energy anytime you cast an instant or sorcery.
All right.
And my deck could regularly have like, you know, like 12 energy.
Sweet.
Sometimes. It was a lot of fun.
So another deck that we kind of saw happening during the weekend was a green-black Delirium deck. Mm-hmm. There are a few different versions.
Yes, but this is a little bit more old school.
Old school version.
It did add a Virtuous Gearhulk and a Noxious Gearhulk.
Yeah.
So, you know, just really making those threats, you know, earn their keep.
Yeah. And if you're playing, I mean, why not play a Gearhulk?
Yeah.
We're in the world of Gearhulks now. They're powerful cards.
Yep.
This is another interesting sort of deck that's labeled Grixis Emerge that's also playing the Scrap Heap Scrounger, but is a little more graveyard-based in getting things back from the graveyard because of the Scrounger. We also have Prized Amalgam and Haunted Dead in this deck, which
Haunted
is
Dead.
Some pretty sweet synergy going on.
Nice.
And, of course, 4 Smuggler's Copter.
4 Smuggler's Copter, because why not?
We can't get away from it.
No, you can't.
Yeah, so are you still hoping, are you still hoping for like another version of black-white control, blue-white control with Dolben Bond?
I want like an old-school blue-white or Esper control deck.
Okay.
I want to kill other things. I want to play next to no creatures. Why can't a girl just do that?
Okay, so what's going in your deck? Fumigate.
Fumigates, Dolben Bonds.
Yep.
Man, I guess like it feels like at this point we should play like some number of fragmentizes for all those smugglers captors.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The problem is that like planeswalkers aren't interacting with with vehicles right now, which is problematic. Yeah. You know? I don't know, Maria.
Megan, don't worry. The pro tour, I'm sure. Look, pros like to play control. Someone will figure it out for you.
Someone has to come with a control deck.
Somebody will get it for you, okay?
Or else I'll languish over the next few months. But I can't because it's not in the format.
I'm just happy. I've got to say that I'm happy that there were some aggro decks that happened because it's been a little while since we've seen a good aggro deck. I don't know which one I would play, red, black, or the red, white. The red, white. I like the red, white because it seems cool. And I like vehicles. It's time for some Flavor Text Theater, everybody. And the way we like to start off Flavor Text Theater with the new set is playing some good old-fashioned movie pitches.
That's right. We are going to crack this booster, which is going to go into our pile of Patreon rewards for the month. And, you know, we're gonna make some movies.
All right, let's make some movies.
Make some movie magic.
We've made some good movies over the time with Flavor Text Theater movie pitches, so I only expect great things from us once again. We've also made some terrible movies.
We've
but
made many terrible, terrible films.
I would
and
say,
TV shows.
And TV shows. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Oh, okay. Boy. What would this be?
Okay. Okay. Do you want me to go? I'll go.
Sure.
So this is like an old school 90s rom-com in the style of
I'm in already.
You've Got Mail or Harry Met Sally.
Sold.
And it's about a chiropractor and massage therapist who's business is struggling because she just moved to a new city. She was small time and in a small town, and she wanted to move to the big city and live there and experience all the excitement of the big city.
Yeah.
And she also is having trouble because she's in a constant, it's a little bit of Stranger Than Fiction also, you know, where they have the conflict about the taxes.
Yes.
For her, it's the like business that owns the property that she rents. It's like a big time company. It's not like an individual owner, and the representative for the company who she negotiates with is like really mean to her, and they always get in fights, but then obviously eventually they fall in love. It's called Pressure Point.
Just a rom-com about a chiropractor or a massage therapist called Pressure Point is automatically getting made. There's such a great name.
But also it's a double meaning because it's the pressure point with her with the guy that she's fighting with.
So good. Okay, this is probably the dumbest one that I've literally ever done.
I also have a stupid one, so go.
Okay, so this is a movie about a guy who is kind of an archaeologist. I say kind of because he's a hobbyist. He's not a professional. And then one day, digging around in his backyard, he finds a staff. And it's magical.
Uh-huh.
It's a magical staff that he found buried in his backyard. And he's whoa, I wonder how much this is worth. But he picks it up and grabs it before, making sure that it's safe. And it turns out that it's...
How would he make sure that it was safe? Would he call in a mystical staff expert?
Just some kind of expert.
Okay.
And he puts his hand on it and he turns into metal. And anybody who touches it turns into metal, but only on the inside. So from the outside, I mean, like metaphorically, he turned into a robot on the inside.
Oh, gotcha.
But on the outside, he's still human.
Ooh, creepy.
So like everyone thinks he's still human, but on the inside, he's just a robot computer man.
Who's trying to turn everybody?
Yeah. Who's trying to turn everybody with his special staff. And by the way, it's really important that his name in this movie is Don.
Uh-huh.
Because the name of this movie is Bastion Mast O'Don. Mast O'Don.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Just forget that ever happened.
I've got another 90s rom-com for you.
I'm in.
About a woman who is taking over. Her dad passes away and they were very close, so she's very sad about it. And she decides that, before this she just had a normal office job. And she decides that she's going to take over his blacksmith business because he was a blacksmith. But she, she has to learn how to become one, and she struggles with it a lot because it's very different from her old lifestyle.
Yeah.
And she also meets a lot of friction from lots of traditional, old school guys who are in blacksmithing who are like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
But eventually, obviously, she succeeds, and also she falls in love with one of them. It's called Welding Sparks.
That is also definitely a movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, this is a movie. It's definitely not a rom-com. It's kind of a dark. It's kind of a dark film. So what it is it's somebody who's like a cleaning lady. She goes to people's houses and cleans very high-skill, upscale clients. But the thing is, she's not actually a cleaning person. She's a murderer for hire. Mm-hmm. So while she goes in and gathers information on somebody who is having an affair or some business deals, and you never know what the person cleaning your house is finding.
No, it's true.
So that's the perfect cover for her. And eventually she'll take a hit out on the person if it turns out that they still do want to kill them after she discovers whatever information they want her to discover. And she does a mean, she makes a mean bed. It's called Tidy Conclusion.
Nice. Okay. So this one is, it's a dystopian future. And it's about in this one, it's a little bit like bad socialism, where everyone has a job that they're assigned, and they all are basically part of this, you know, this society that works on fabricating all of these things that can help them survive in the new environment, because the Earth's environment has become very hostile, and it's constantly like attacking, you know, all of the different boundaries that people put up. So it's like society has been built around constantly reinforcing these things, and everyone is just, you know, they're born and they have to do this job to help reinforce it, and that's all that they do their entire lives. They're just, you know, like another piece of the puzzle, or the clockwork, essentially. But this guy is like, wait a second, like, I don't know if, you know, they're just told that that's why they have to build these walls and everything. And he's like, I don't know if that's actually it. You know, he finds like a message or something from someone that's like, wait a second, I don't know if the environment is actually super hostile out there or something.
Yeah.
So he has to unravel, you know, this mystery that's surrounding this dystopian society, as always happens in dystopian novels. It's called Cogworker's Puzzle Knot.
For a second, like, the wall building and this dystopian feature reminded me a lot of a manga where there's big giants that try and come and take over these people have Ooh. To continually building walls.
That's crazy.
Anyway, so this mine is just pretty short pitch. It's for all the kids that grew up with, as many of us did, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yep.
It's kind of like it's gone sour for Thomas. He's gone on a real bender.
Yes.
Done a lot of bad drugs. Mm-hmm. And he's off the rails. Mm-hmm. It's called Renegade Freighter.
Okay. I'm just going to remake Wolf of Wall Street shot for shot and call it Lawless Broker.
It'll happen someday in the future. This is a... Okay, so this is like a child who's a child genius, has to have a science fair project. Mm-hmm. And his parents are also scientific geniuses, so they're helping him out with the project. But what they don't know is he doesn't actually need their help, because he's got a secret project in the back that he's been working on for a long time. He's mm-hmm. obsessed with dinosaurs. So it's something to do with dinosaurs. What happens is he uses like a cell tower mm-hmm. in his local town, and he charges the energy of the earth, the prehistoric earth, up through this cell tower and spits it out the top. And out the top come dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
It's a dino vault tower.
Okay, what's crazy is that I saw that one and I put it down. I didn't realize you had picked it up again. And I come up with like an eerily similar pitch.
Kid makes dinosaurs in the tower.
Yes, mostly it had to do with dinosaurs and electricity.
Okay.
Okay, so this one is a, this one's about, it's just like, you know, like a contemporary film about a woman who decides that she's, like, she's had enough of everything. She's, you know, she works like a stupid job that she realizes that she completely hates. And so she buys an RV and she just drives across the country.
Yeah,
and while she's, you know, while she's doing that, it's just, you know, one of those like mockumentaries, essentially. It's called Wild Wanderer.
I'd watch it. So this. Uh-huh. I'm trying to make it make sense, but okay. It really doesn't. This movie is a historical retelling of FDR's presidency.
Uh-huh.
In which. It's kind of like a Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But instead, FDR is constantly having to dodge like these ninjas that are out to get him.
Uh-huh.
So he's doing his job as president and just constantly killing ninjas.
Also being wheelchair bound because you said FDR.
Yeah. So he's just being a total badass, killing people left and right. But in the end, it's a tragedy. He dies because one of them comes in during one of his fireside chats and stabs him in the neck. It's called Fireside Infiltrator.
All right.
Never getting made.
Okay. I have one for you.
Okay.
This one is set in like a, it's a fantasy, right? And it's about, it's about a, like, you know, in old school times, sometimes when there was an arranged marriage from when people were very, like, when kids were very young, they wouldn't get married, but they would send one of them to live with the other family. So they grew up together. So that's kind of like this, that there are two neighboring betrothed. Kingdoms. Exactly. And the two kids are betrothed, and they send the girl to go live with the boy's family because she's eventually going to grow up and marry him, and they're going to, you know, rule his kingdom because she's not the eldest on her side. But when she grows up, she realizes that like the people who are in power in that kingdom like are actually doing kind of a terrible job. His family does a terrible job. He's kind of entrenched in their same ways where he's not really worried about his people's welfare. They're kind of just actually worried about, you know, maintaining their ruling status and, you know, making as much like money as they can off of their subjects, essentially. And she's like, hey, that's not right. And I super don't like this guy and I'm not going to marry him. Yeah. So instead, she tells him, no, we're not getting married. And she goes and she starts a revolution in his own country.
Whoa.
It's called Revolutionary Rebuff.
Nice. Some quality films.
Yeah. I
think a hot few of these could get made.
Sure.
Dynavolt Towers, easily.
Definitely number one. Definitely. Fucking dinosaurs come out the top. Michael Bay directs it.
Oh, Michael Bay for sure directs it. There's so many lens flares.
Well, all of these cards are going to go into our pot for the month, along with this wonderful classic art tokens bag and playmat.
Everybody, that's our show for this week. Keep in mind that we did do a Magic the Pro the Ring recently.
That's right, with Paulo Vitor Damo de Rosa, a excellent pro from Brazil. It's a lot of fun, and you can learn lots about not only magic played here, but magic played around the world.
Yeah, so check that out. It should be in your podcast feed for the show. If you are on Patreon, you can always listen to the feed for the show through that. And if you're a patron member, you get access to the feed that includes our patron specials.
That's right.
So that's extra little stuff we record just for patrons, and you'll have access to that in your feed. So it's kind of a neat little perk. So if you want to say hi, everybody, you know how to do it at MTAcast on Twitter.
Yep. MagicTheAmaturing at gmail.com. Check out our website for playmats and t-shirts and other sweet swag, MagicTheAmaturing.com.
And if you're around this weekend in Atlanta, come say hi to Megan and I.
We will be there.
We'll give you a high five and maybe a special prize.
Yep. Thank you once again to our sponsor, CardKingdom.com. You can go there, CardKingdom.com/MTAcast, for all of your booster and singles needs. And remember to send in your sweet brews for the Inventors Fair.
I'm so excited to judge the cool decks that we get to see.
Yeah, man.
Making all that energy.
Get inventive. Or else.